Would you like to have any heart-to-heart talk? Then you can ask anything. And take up that point what you would like. All of you are welcome. This is all I can say.
Would the Master expound on the precepts for initiation?
That also comes
in. That's all right. First of all, we should know what initiation means. Initiation is no ceremony, no rite, no ritual, no offering. It is just like a school. A lesson is given. And that lesson, first the theory explained, enough. And then experience is given, you see. We are all children of God. God is light, and we are also light, being of the same essence as that of God. But our light is enveloped by different coverings of the physical, astral, and causal, super causal. Just like a lamp with its two, three, four coverings, it appears that is not, there is no light there. When you shake off one covering, you have some light. When you shake off the other one, more light. As you shake off all coverings, you see it is all light. Similarly, we are light, children of light. But enveloped by so many coverings, you see. So initiation means just raise our soul. You shake off the covering first, which is of the physical body, which is iron curtain, I would say, to raise the soul above it. To raise the soul above body consciousness, physical consciousness. And open the inner eye to have experience of light. And also, to open the inner eye, to hear the voice of God and music of the spheres. This is what is actually means by the word initiation, to be initiated into the beyond. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. For that, what have we to do? We are souls, conscious entities. Our seat of the soul in the body is back the eyes. You must have seen some man dying. The light withdraws from the underneath, goes to the back of the eyes, and eyes are upturned. Then the drawing comes, what is called death. So seat of the soul in the body is back the eyes. But it enlightens the whole room, whole body. To those rays of the soul, you might say, which is enlivening the whole body, those are to be withdrawn and brought to the back of the eyes. There the inner eye and the single eye opens, we see the light of God. That is why God said, Christ said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now we have got two eyes. How the two eyes can become single? That's a practical question. See, all of the masters say the third eye should be opened, that is back of the eye. But that opens only when our life current, our sensory current, is withdrawn at the back of the eyes. This is first step. And for that there have been many ways prescribed for that, and many of them are man-made. They are time-consuming, difficult, hazardous too, and we are hereditary not fit for those details. They involve planar system. breathing, etc. Or by intellectual wrestling we come to some conclusion. But that is not seeing. So it is a matter of practical self-analysis. How to rise above body consciousness, how to die while alive. Saint Plutarch tells us, those who are initiated into the beyond, their soul has the same experience as the soul has the experience at the time of death. So we have to withdraw our soul to the seat of it, which is at the back of the body. So initiation means just somebody, if you can do of your own self, well and good. Anybody and everybody is welcome. A blind man needs two eyes to see. If not, then in that case, we need the help of somebody who knows the way, who is competent to do it. And who is competent to do it? Not the Son of Man, mind that. It is the God in him, which is manifest, that has the power to raise our soul above the bondage of mind and matter, with little thought. That costs him nothing. God made all creation with one thought of his. If God manifests at any human goal, of course God lies in every heart. There is no heart without it. But God is not manifest there. The reason why our soul is under the control of mind, mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties, and our attention is diffused into the world outside through the outgoing faculties. We are identified with the world. So we do not know which is that power. That is there, of course. If by withdrawing our attention from outside, then rising above the senses, we open the eye and see that is there. You see? If you shut the doors of the temple of the body, you will see the light of heaven. So this is what it really means, initiation. Before we go to him, our inner eyes glowed, and our inner ears are also closed. They are sealed, as the scriptures say, you see. So somebody, the God in him, who is manifest, he comes across to those who are really hankering after God. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Guru appears when the jailer is ready, you see. That is God made arrangement, no man's arrangement. He sees some child is after him and then he makes some arrangement to bring such a seeker after truth somewhere where he is manifest, and that manifested God is competent to give him that experience of light and hearing of the music of the spheres. So this is what is meant by education. That is why Christ said to his disciples, blessed are you who see things what the old prophets and righteous men could not see. Then he said, blessed are you who hear things that the old prophets and righteous men could not hear. So there is something of seeing and something for hearing. Hearing the voice of God and seeing the light of God. That is within us already. That is the controlling power which is keeping us in the body. Otherwise we would have run away out of the body. That's all. Two eyes open, two nostrils open. But we cannot. So this is exactly what is meant by initiation. That affection, no religion. Because religions are our school of thought in which we have joined to have this very truth. Truth is one. God is light. And God is music of his spheres. A blind man is truly defined by masters as one, not one who has got no eyes on the face, but whose inner eyes closed. In the terminology of the faith, a blind man is one whose inner eye is closed. Always has two eyes on the face. So when you come to him, you are blind. When he gives you a sitting, well, you see light, you testify. So when you return, you are not blind anymore. Now you close your eyes, you see darkness. The one who is competent to remove that darkness, veil of darkness, and the light grows so, so you testify it is so, well, this is what is meant by initiation. And this here, the ABC starts. This is not the end all by that. When the world's last is end, their delusion starts. There are so many mansions in the house of our Father. There are physical planes, astral planes, causal planes, super causal planes, and pure spiritual planes in the house of our Father. So, the one who is competent to bring your soul up into the beyond and give an experience of the light of God and hear the voice of God, he is also competent to guide you when you rise above body consciousness and traverse into those planes. It is the God in him what is called God power or the Guru power or the Christ power. This is the ultimate goal before us as a man, and the purpose of joining various religions is only that. And you'll find in each religion, a true Christian is defined as one who sees the light of God. A true Hindu or a Sikh or a Mohammedan, anybody, you see, in the scriptures you'll find he's one who sees the light of God. We have joined various schools of thought, these are the first step. To remain in some school or college is blessed. But to remain there, not to have that purpose for which you have joined, I think you have not derived the full benefit of joining that particular school. Of course, we have taken the first step what required for preparation of the ground, that is reading of scriptures, saying prayers, performing certain rites and rituals. The purpose is what? By reading scriptures, we know what Master said on the subject. The right and port thereof also you can have only when you sit by somebody who knows the way. Those who are simply try to interpret the scriptures at the level of intellect, they cannot do full justice to the work. God is light, they say. But intellectuals say it is light of intellect. It is substantial light. So, just scope of reading scriptures and there to create an interest in us to have those very experiences what the Masters had in their lives. So by performing, you see, rites and rituals or saying prayers means what? To develop love and devotion in us for God. These are good actions. They are required for preparation of the ground, but seeing is still above. Seeing arises to the soul when it is liberated from mind and outgoing faculties. That is all Master said, know thyself. So this is actually what is meant by initiation. When Masters come, they don't educate one religion or the other. They simply tell us the highest teaching what all Masters gave that we have forgotten and they revive. And who revives? The God in them. That's all. This is what this is required. There is something required for that. To praise the ground. First, who can unite you with God? Only with God's grace alone that can unite you. First, to rely everything to God. Second, there are some preparatory things required, you see. Strict vegetarian diet. Avoidance of all meat, fish, fowl, and eggs. Why? Whereas people think that they give strength. What do the animals eat? How strong they are? They call the power by horsepower. Now there's a complaint in the West about the vegetarian diet, you see. About 15 World Vegetarian Conferences have been held so far. One only has been held in India, and 14 have been held in the West. But there's a complaint everywhere for vegetarian diet. They've come to know that it's sweeter than we diet. In every respect. This is one reason. Second reason is that we have to control over our passions. Anything the use of which goes to flare of passions, that we have to avoid. This is the main thing. If doctor comes and advises you not, the patient, not to take the solid food, you have to obey it. So this is a helping factor. Similarly, we are conscious beings. We have to become more conscious. So anything the use of which goes to make our consciousness marvel, we have to eliminate. All intoxicants, alcoholism. And further, good character. So these are the necessities, helping factors to be initiated. Even if you get it, don't live up to it. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. So this is what is meant by initiation, and these are the preparatory grounds. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Maybe as the reactions of the past, or by passing through various vicissitudes in life, by discrimination we know what to do. So this is sort of, you see, hunger with the to have some safe refuge where to heaven. So such like person in whom this sadhya has arisen, God sees, he is within us, he makes some arrangement to bring us in contact with somewhere where you can be initiated into the beyond. This is what is meant, that doesn't affect any religion. That the basic principle of all religions, which we have forgotten, that's all. And by parallel study of religions, you'll find like that. We all gave us this light and sound is the way back to God. This is God into expression power, two aspects of it. So remain where you are, no need of changing any religion, you see. Simply, to be true to your own religion. And pity it is that where even the, I have met most of the heads, ministers of the various religions. These teachings are there in their scriptures, but they themselves do not know. They know only the elementary steps. And they don't refer about these things. If they do refer, the people ask us, give us please, then it's better not to mention a word. So to add as human, we forget, masters come from time to time to revive that very forgotten lesson, you see. So this is no new religion, no new faith, no new formation. This is helping everybody to be true to his own teachings of their own masters to whom we belong. So I think this clarifies what is initiation and what are the helping factors, the requirements for initiation. That's what I...
Thank you,
teacher. No, that's what I... So we have met after a long time, you see, first time in Miami, probably. And if you have any question, to the best in God's grace, I know that will be given out.
Can you clarify karma?
Make what?
Karma, can you clarify it?
Oh, yeah. Karma question. Well, in all scriptures you'll find this subject has been taken up. Somewhere it is clarified in detail, somewhere simply referred to it. And this is due to the fact these scriptures, most of them were not written by the masters themselves. Most of them. These were written later on. Later on, only by hearsay you can have. Some references are made. In somewhere they have written that they have given a full detail of it. So in all scriptures you will find, as you sow, so shall you reap. You see? Action and reaction is there. If you put a seed or pepper underground and water it, what will result? Plant will come out with your hundreds of peppers. One seed. If you put some seed of some fruit, you put it underground and water it, and that will give, tree which will give hundreds of those fruits. So very thought, you see, what strikes you, that has reaction. You have one thought and all other thoughts will come up like the pepper or the mango or anything. So there are codes, you see, there are small cause codes in which ordinary cases are finalized in weeks. There are some high codes and pre codes, you see, in which the cases continue for years together. Similarly, action and reaction comes from straight out. Just like smart cast course, you see, the bare fruit. Sometimes they take longer course. So as we say, we cannot escape the result of that. And that is the cause of reaction. So what happens, you see, daily we are having some action, some sowing some seed. Any thought which occurs, that is a seed. When it comes into commission, that becomes an action. Really the seed is there in our thought. So thoughts are very potent, you see. They react very strongly. So there are three kinds of karma, you see. One which you do daily. They are called kriyamaan, you see, daily we do. And the second which are in fruit according to which our present life is based. Wheels are woe, I mean the richness and poverty, high position, low, some make very strong effort, they cannot go to the front. Others make little, no, they come out to the front at all. Some are very learned people, they cannot earn their livelihood. And others are not so learned that they have earned a million dollars, you see. So these are something, reactions of the past, which is bear fruit, according to which our present life is based. And there are still some seeds which have not grown as yet, grown into fruit. Those are called in store, karmas in store. So these are three, I think there are no end to them. You see, every day we are sowing seed, they are bearing fruit, others are still in store. Well, go on, action, reaction, and like that. I tell you, all this is mentioned about Lord Rama, perhaps Ramayana, what you might have heard, that he, after that came Krishna, Lord Krishna, you see. How he died, you know? Krishna was lying in a wilderness and one hunter was there was one eye, you see, in the feet that flashed like the eye of an antelope, you see. At a distance I shot an arrow, you see, that went into his feet and he died. When he came near to his side to Lord Krishna and asked him why, well, I regret I never meant that, but I thought perhaps it was the eye of a deer or an antelope, that is why. Then, no, don't fear. It is the eye. I kill you.
Yeah.
In Lord Rama's case, you see, that is the reaction. If even the incarnation cannot escape the reactions of karma, how can we? So now question arises, is there no hope? There is hope. How? Let me see. You have to say anything? I'm going to reply further.
Yes, in pertaining to diet.
Let me finish this.
Yes.
Then you find it. So then when masters come, what they do? They wind up all actions, all karma. How? There is no end. Actually, action will go on. We see it, sow new seeds, some are in fruit, some are in store, again they go on like that. There is no end to that. And even incarnation cannot, I will escape. What the masters do? Those who come up to him, they lay down a line of action. Future life. Don't think of either anybody, you know, thought, word and deed. Be truthful in all your actions. No acting, posing, at heart something, saying something like that. Not deceiving anybody. And to be chaste in thought, word and deed. And love all. And do service. These are the actions laid up for future. If you do that, there is no showing.
It's pretty tough.
And your tongue. But anyhow, therefore, never mind. You see, everything appears to be tough, but still. But there's something more than not that much only, you see. This is for reason. They give him a contact with the God within, with the light and sound of God within. That goes to nullify, help him inside, you see. They have love for all. Naturally, these things come off, become easier. This is one thing. And those karmas, which are in fruit now, according to which our present life is based, they do not touch it. Otherwise, if they touch it, then the man should die. You see, because our life is based on that. But they do, you see what they do, they give food, bread of life to the soul. They give a contact with the light and soul principle within, that is the bread of life, and the soul becomes strong. What is the result? That these present karmas, which come of sometimes poverty, sometimes sickness, something this, because the soul is strong, these all reactions lose their pitching effect. Just like there is a fight going on. There are one very weak and the others are very strong. And the weak one gets one blow, he is stunned, he says, I am killed. And others, they are strong now, where there have been so blows and fighting, we did not even care for that, because they are strong enough. So reaction do come up, but they get the strength of soul by the bread of life, which is coming in contact with the light and some principle within. So present life passed that way. And those in stores, when they come in contact with God, become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, all karmas which are in store, they are burnt away. Just like seeds, if you roast in the heaven, you see, they don't grow up. And this way, how the whole karmas are wound up. That is why I have to say, what is the use of going to your master if these reactions are not ended? Just like if you go to the feet of a lion, be afraid of the jackals. What is the use of going to a lion? This is how the karmas are wound up, you see. First, by prescribing certain conduct of life, second, inner contact higher. Like that. You please?
Yes, I have two questions.
Yes, yes. What should I do?
One was pertaining to diet.
Yes.
We are to abstain from fish, meat, eggs, and etc. Now, must we also abstain from coffee and tea, which have caffeine and tannic acid?
I tell you. Coffee, tea, etc., you see, does not give you too much intoxication. Intoxication, they come under the category of intoxication. Goes against the laws of health, but does not affect killing somebody. I'll tell you why. You see, that is also a sin, strictly speaking. Even to breathe is sin, because we kill so many insects. To walk on earth is also a sin. We trample so many insects underground, under the feet. To eat vegetables is also a sin. Let me go further. But each sin has its own value, comparative value.
but must you abstain from the coffee and tea in order to fulfill the word?
That's all. This I'm telling you, that is a sin item, strictly speaking, but that does not give you intoxication or at all to lose your consciousness. See? For that some use light, etc. That's another thing, but strictly that is against that clause.
Good morning, and welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording that you just heard was the first 30 minutes of the talk titled, Initiation is Like a Lesson. This was given by Master on 1st January 1964 in Miami, Florida. Our reader this morning is Claire Stannard.
Hello, everyone. This reading is a continuation of a talk called The Temple of God, published in the March 1970 issue of Satsang Desh. It's been translated from the Hindi. In it, Master is explaining a hymn by Guru Amar Das. Then he describes the Guru. He who makes me hear the sound, the music of the spheres, he is my Guru Dev, true Master. He is a Guru who makes one hear the strains of perpetual celestial music. So now go and find a Guru like that. Again, he says, repeat that word by which the light of millions of suns appears and the song of the Lord's name is heard. It means that by repetition of the Nam, the light of millions of suns shines forth within you. The song of the Lord's name comes through the sound principle. It is a path of light or Sruti Marg, light and sound principle, Nur and Kalam Ikadim. All mean one and the same thing. You can call it truth clothed in light, music of all harmonies. These are but different names of the one thing that is already existing. God's expression has two aspects, light and sound. He who has the power to withdraw you from the outer things and give you a little demonstration of the truth inside, he is the Guru. Search the world and see how many Gurus like that you can find. Guru Amar Das could not find such a Guru in his 70 years of searching. All outer practices have their own value. If you do well, you will be rewarded. This is a preparation of the ground, but one's birth and rebirth will not finish this way. It is said, the saint has given me capital. Capital is that which the Guru gives at the start, and which must be increased daily through meditation. After his long search, how did Guru Amar Das meet his Guru? In his own words, he says, I met my Satguru without any effort of mine. The child who has true yearning in him will gain the grace of God who is residing in each being. When God sees that the child is full of anguish and is anxious to meet him, he makes the arrangement so that the child reaches the right source in one way or another. Guru Amar Das used to do the outer practices before he met his Guru. Barefoot, he went on many pilgrimages in company with his friends. After meeting his master, he knew what was more beneficial, so he stopped traveling as if he had reached his destination. When his friends once again set out for a pilgrimage, he pondered over a way to make them understand the truth. So finally, when they were leaving, he said to them, Brothers, kindly do something for me. Take this tumbi, a wild fruit, sweet on the outside but very bitter in the center. And wherever you take a holy bath, please give this tumbi a bath also. They agreed and left, leaving him behind. After all, when a man gets what he has been searching for, he wanders no more. When his friends returned, He asked them if they had given the Tumbi a holy bath, and they replied that they had given it many baths. So Guru Amar Das cut open the fruit, filled the halves with water, and told his friends to drink. They drank, remarking that it was very bitter. He asked them, "How is it possible that after so many holy dips, it is still bitter?" To further encourage their understanding, he went on to tell them that when the mind is full of filth, it cannot be washed clean by merely bathing the physical form, that the world is an illusion and only very few unravel its mystery. You can stay in any religion, but if you are not living an ethical life, it will not benefit you. Full congratulations can be given to that religion through which one's third eye was opened to see the truth. This can only happen when one sits beside a God-realized man. It matters not what caste he is, or what part of the world he comes from. Mirabai was a princess and went to Ravidas, who was a poor cobbler. He was a cobbler, but a competently realized, God-realized soul. King Bagal Singh went to Kabir Sahib, who was a simple weaver. The Muslim saint, Mirza Taqi, and other Muslims went to Tulsi Sahib, a Hindu. We have made the caste systems, not God. You can liken it to a school, but only that school deserves praise where a large number of students graduate. A true Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, or Christian, etc., is one who rises above body consciousness and sees the light of God. The degree of MA is one and the same in all colleges. So, brothers, this is the common ground where you are sitting today, Sawan Ashram. After a great length of time sitting at the feet of my master, I at last understood the parallel study of religions. You should also study these things and make the best use of them. Remain in your own religions and keep the same rituals. You do not have to change anything. With a great blessing, you have got the human form in which God is also residing. Realize him. Sit beside a master who goes inside. Tap inside. He will give you a small way up. Otherwise, your whole life will be spent doing outer observations through the senses, and the cycle of birth and death will never finish. As long as you do not know it, in truth, that he is the doer and not you, you will not achieve anything. When I saw him, I sang, and through singing, I got the fruit. When one's condition becomes like this, with the Guru's blessing, the realization will come. He will withdraw you from outer things and connect you with the light and sound already existing within the human form. He will make it audible and visible. Through daily practices, you will be able to increase the experience. Christ told the people that the Son knows the Father and others to whom the Son may reveal him. By the Guru's grace, you can see that this body you carry around is the temple of God. Many have searched for this temple, but found it by contacting the Nam power within. That God is nameless and formless. When he said, "From one I will become many," he expressed himself forth, and that power is known as Nam, name or word. Through the Nam, the whole world was created, and by the Nam, the Khand and Brahmand appeared. You may call it Nam, Shabd, or word, but that power is the same. This expression of Nam is God's own power. It is the God into expression power. It is looking after everything, controlling everything. If it withdraws from the physical body, we have to leave. Guru Nanak says, Nanak's Nam is in control of all. Only with God's grace can it be realized. That power has tied us to the body, and only by its support are we going along in life. What can a poor puppet do but the will of the great giver? The wooden doll does not know what is holding her up. That very power, Shabd or Nam, is upholding billions and billions of Khans and Brahmans. With what perfect symmetry and motion is it upholding all this? When that power withdraws, dissolution or grand dissolution occurs. We must know that power. We are not separate from it, and it is not separate from us. But the question remains, where is it? When one becomes conscious of oneself, then one can know a little of this truth. These days, the attention is constantly attracted by worldly objects. I am seeing you and you are seeing me, but we cannot see behind us. By turning our head and eyes, we can see what is happening behind. So when we withdraw from outside, we will see what is happening inside. That is why all masters have advised to know thyself. Everyone has searched for God's temple. All the words spoken outside are based on inner sounds. Just take the word guru, for example. This guru Shabd is mentioned in the holy scriptures, Eastern. Any word given by a God-realized man is highly charged. You may know of various words, like Ram or Allah, etc., names of God. But if they were given by a God-realized man, they would have strong charging. Oh, my mind, to become one with the Shabd will drench me in its everlasting color. Here, color means divine intoxication. If our soul gets joined back to the Shabd, we will also start getting intoxicated. Nanak says, the intoxication of Nam upon Nanak is such that he is inebriated day and night. The outer intoxication is that which one experiences in the morning and by evening one is sober. Its effect wears off. If one drinks in the evening, the effect has gone by morning. But inner intoxication is the food of the soul. Though the soul itself is also intoxication, it is merely a drop of the ocean of all intoxication. When it becomes one with the waves of that ocean, it becomes full of supreme bliss. O man, O soul, the pleasures you enjoy last only while your attention is there, but once you withdraw, the pleasures fade away. So, if you want the true intoxication, which will never wear off, you have to become one with God. True devotion, the temple of God, is only true if the music of the spheres is heard. They say that this body is the real temple of God. The temples made by man are just temples. What is true devotion? Where the sound principle, God's music, is heard. To become one with that sound is true devotion. Devotion is also called love. But when the soul gets intoxicated from the inner sun, that is called devotion. Where can you find this? Only in the temple of God, not outside. It is already there. One only has to withdraw inside by withdrawing the attention from outer things. What is the criterion for knowing that this is it? When you hear the sound, which is indescribable and unknowable, then you will have reached true devotion. Where will it take you? From where it started. Absolute God thought, From one I will become many. This is the way back to absolute God. For whom is this teaching? All mankind. A Muslim fakir says, shame on ye that are so identified with the prison of the physical form, that ye listen not to the holy voice of God. It means that it is very sad that you are so physically bound to your body that you do not listen to the pure voice of the Lord that is coming from within you. I hear a voice within me calling, O Shamas Tabrez, return thee to the kingdom of God. Every moment a voice is coming to my soul inside this physical form, and it is saying, O Shamas Tabrez, come back to my home. That voice is continuously vibrating. On this subject, Bhai Nandlal Ji has said in the Persian language, the sound of the bell is ringing. Hurry up and pack your things and let us go home to that place from whence the sound is coming. This is the voice of God calling us. It is also said that this body is the temple of God in which the gem of knowledge appears. The gem of knowledge is that sound which reverberates, and whosoever enters inside will find it. Everything is in this house, nothing is outside. Whosoever searches outwardly will lose himself in illusion. Kabir says, the thing is in one place and the search is being made somewhere else. You will find it when you take with you he who knows. If you come across a person who has the knowledge of the beyond, he will say, come, and will join you back through his attention. If you take the knower with you, he will easily give you the truth. That which takes millions of births will happen in 1 second. For many lives, and the present one also, man has been in search of God, wandering in the outer environment. If he had gone inside, he would have had the realization. For this process, a Mahatma, great soul, who goes inside himself, is needed to put us on the way up. Then, with daily practice, one's condition should become one of confidence. When a true master comes, all doubts vanish. Whenever he wants, he can work in the body, or he can go to the Suksham, into the beyond. So the true temple of God is the physical form in which the jewel of knowledge shines. Knowledge is not gained just by reading and writing. Knowledge comes through experience. To see the inner light and hear the inner sound is real knowledge. Manmukhs, worldly people, ask, how can the man body be the temple of God? Those people who are under the influence of the mind and are doing outer practices say, how can the man body be the temple of God? This is a sack of filth. Who can say it is the house of God? They are never convinced about it. Once I heard of a great Mahatma who had many followers, so I went to see him. Someone introduced me, and he started giving a lecture. Who says that in the beyond you can realize God? The body is full of filth, urine, blood, etc. How can there be anything inside? If you want to see the sun, you must look outside. So you must understand that there are also Mahatmas of this type. In the Guru Bani it is written that this kind of Mahatma is Manmukh. What is a Manmukh? He who does not understand the holy Shabd can be termed a Manmukh. The fear of the Guru is not in his heart. Firstly, it is very difficult to meet a true master And secondly, if one does not meet one, naturally one cannot obey him. Such people say, how can this body be a temple of God? Eat, drink, and be merry is their motto. Dear people, this human form is a true temple wherein God resides. Withdraw yourselves from outer things and realize him. You can only do this while you have a human life. Now you have got this man body. It is the time to meet God. All the outward actions will not help you. Keep the company of a sadhu and repeat the holy Nam. Keep the company of a sadhu. What is a sadhu? One in whom God has manifested himself and who can make God appear within others. In the company of a sadhu, you will receive that which is imperishable. What is that thing which is imperishable? He, God himself, who is already within you. In the Japji Sahib, which is read daily by the Sikhs, it is written, there is a priceless jewel within you. You will realize it if you obey the Guru's teachings. In the Quran of our Muslim brothers, it is written in Persian, I am a hidden treasure hidden deep within you. If you knew there was some treasure hidden somewhere, wouldn't you like to dig it out? If a thief came across an unguarded house with no one to see his actions, do you think he would sleep in the night? So many say that God is within us, but even then sleep without caring. Why don't they dig out the truth? Even if one meets someone who can help to bring out this truth and some understanding is given, even then one does not care to do the digging. How unfortunate is he? What can we call such an unfortunate person? If he were not conscious of the thing, it would be a different matter. But if someone has shown a little of that treasure inside, and even then one ignores it, then what is to be done? The usual excuse given is, I have no time, is it not? Do you want someone else to dig out the treasure for you? This is not restricted to any particular faith. Anyone can do it. All the outer rituals are good, and if one does something good, one will be rewarded, but the coming and going in the world will not stop. This thing is an inner science, getting which you will also get salvation. Even if one returns, it will not be as a prisoner, but rather as a doctor sent back to help the rest of humanity. The true temple of the man body was made by God and is maintained by his will. All creation is in God's control, just as a powerhouse controls all other machinery. He who is in charge of the powerhouse will tell you that not a single piece of machinery can move without his orders. Those working under him say, be careful not to disobey his orders, otherwise a limb might get chopped off in the machinery. His wishes are like standing orders and cannot be erased. So, God is called by the names Shabd or Nam or Word. That which we term the controlling power is his wish or order, or you can call it the will of God. Through the Shabd, all happiness is acquired, and through love, the true Nam. Soul is a part of God just as it is a part of the Shabd. When the soul becomes one with God, it becomes full of bliss. If ye long for eternal happiness, surrender thyself to God. Go under the protection of that power which is perpetually vibrating. The soul is a conscious entity, and God is all consciousness. If you want everlasting happiness, be connected with the ever-permeating rays of the all-consciousness. Such happiness will never end. These teachings are not for a selected few, but for all. This secret path cannot be trod without a guru. When we leave the body at death, the body's identifications that we considered to be so important remain with the body. When you leave, who are you? Just a soul. You will go to a place in accordance with the seeds you have sown, not by what religion you are, but by just what you are. If one is fortunate to find a great man who is a living temple of God and who can reveal the light within, what will this great man do? The master will lift you above the realm of duality, saving you from judgment in the court of the Lord of Death. An enlightened soul with his attention takes you above the senses and connects you with the truth. Once you have risen above the poisons of the senses and have become the one who sees, then what can Dharmrai, the Lord of Death, do? This quotation was from the Gurubani. That book has a place in every Sikh home, but the same thing has been said by all past masters. In the Persian language, it is the same. If you open the Sanskrit books, you will find the same teaching there. However, the common man does not understand Sanskrit, which requires the study of a special grammar. When masters come, they speak the simple language of the common man so that everyone may understand. The latest holy book is the Guru Granth Sahib. Forgive me, but for understanding that also, dictionaries are now being compiled. With each age, everything changes. This Guru Granth Sahib was written in the simple Punjabi language very clearly and in such a way that by reading it, one gets some intoxication. Those who commune with the truth are freed from all worldly sufferings. True one is the truth, O Nanak. The truth is also known as Shabd and Naam. It is both describable and indescribable. It is said that he whose soul becomes one with the truth or Naam transcends matter, and the rest get drowned in it, going around the cycle of births and deaths. In a certain section of the Hindu religion, when a person is dying, they quickly light a lamp and put it in his hand. They say, do it quickly or he will die before he gets salvation. When a guru initiates a disciple on this path, he will not leave him until he has taken him to the lap of Sat Purush, God in his true form. After that, the Sat Purush will take him to Alak, Agam, and Anami, states of imperceptible, inconceivable, and nameless God. A guru's duty is very exacting. Even to hear the word guru, the soul shivers. But people nowadays want to become gurus very quickly and very easily, like an enjoyment, you might say. In truth, a guru is God himself. In whichever pole God has manifested himself, that pole is known as sadhu, sant, or mahatma, or master. He never says, I am the doer, but always refers to the will of God. The bani of the guru, a sound which gives perpetual bliss, can only be heard by the grace of the guru. The bani of the guru and the guru bani are two different things. Guru bani, guru's word, is what we read. Bani is the name of nam or word of which it is said that in the four yugas or ages, the sound is vibrating continuously, and with the blessing of the guru, that sound is made audible to the disciple. All the holy scriptures started from some enlightened soul. Before each master came, each book was not in existence. so only a self-realized man can interpret them. The correct meanings cannot be understood on an intellectual level, for men who have not seen will give many different interpretations. Those who communed with the Nam became rid of all dross to merge with the Lord in a state of pristine purity. Those whose soul gets connection with Nam become pure. Only then can they merge into the Godhead. Nam liberates the soul from the lower self. Only he who is clean and pure can reach the lap of God. Who else can go? The true temple of the God is God's shop where the priceless treasure of Nam is sold, which only a Guru Mukh can get. I'll stop there. I was reading The Temple of God, published in the March 1970 issue of Satsang Desh. Thank you, Master.
And thank you, Claire, for reading for us. There were 84 people at this morning's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So this is the high time. Man body is the golden opportunity that we have got. Why? Because in this man body only we can know God and in no other body.